days, and I'm also happy to give a talk. So I'm going to talk about some property of the landscape, and I try to focus it on addressing a question of eternal inflation. Since this is a workshop on cosmological constant problem, and I will also suggest a plausible solution to it within the context of the landscape. So eternal inflation, well, it's well known. It's that if during inflation, costly scale factor will grow exponentially. And if we stick in any vacuum for a little time, and tunneling typically takes a long time, exponentially suppressed. And so you will stay there long enough such that one patch will grow to many patches. And if some patches would decay, there will be remaining patches there, and those will grow eternally. And that's essentially the idea of eternal inflation, which means that you will never end. So if eternal inflation happens, then it will imply that somewhere in our universe, outside our horizon, maybe, that inflation is still happening today. And since those patches are inflating, have been inflating, say, the 13.7 billion years, inflating part of the universe will have much, much bigger volume than the one we live in. So that's, in a sense, a problem. Well, I'm not going to go through the compactification. Many people have discussed various issues about compactification in string theory. And typically, we expect many, many local minima in the solutions of the string theory, and they form so-called landscape. And in that landscape, maybe we have 10 to the 500 or more, or probably infinite number of metastable or locally stable vacua. And with any kind of cosmological constant from string scale or Planck scale down to negative values. And the landscape is vast also in the sense that, typically there's many moduli, okay, which is stabilized. And moduli essentially scalar field or the size, shape of the compactification. And we expect dozens or if not hundreds of moduli in a generic site. Okay? So they are dynamically stabilized. So that's the picture. So many moduli, many vacua. So the power of eternal inflation is typically the argument is falling because it's quite generic. As we said, that if you get stuck at a local minima, you will stay there relatively long. And so it's unavoidable. And its presence will lead to a non-zero probability for every single site in the landscape because eternal inflation is eternal. So even if tunneling up or down with very, very small probability, it will happen, okay? Compared with infinity, infinite time, it will happen. And in that sense, that the whole landscape is populated with some probability. Of course, each site probability is extremely small, but with some non-zero probability. And from that point of view, we can understand why we are, you know, assuming our universe is somewhere on the landscape, that why there's non-zero probability ending at where we are. Okay? The cons, of course, is that there's so many vacua, and the one that's still inflating would be so large that in terms of volume size, ending at where we are is extremely unlikely. Okay, so the only way to do it is so-called they invoke a strong version of anthropic principle. That's it's up to you, like it or not. But I think with eternal inflation, this is somehow unavoidable. Then the other issue is that in the compactification, you can have a vacuum, say our standard model vacuum, and then there's a nearby vacuum where change the compactification flux a little bit. So everything is the same, except maybe the fine structure constant changed by one part in a billion, for example, or more, or less, or strong coupling constant lambda QCD will change a little bit. So in a sense that it's very hard to make predictions, because if you find a vacuum we have, you expect nearby vacuum with very similar properties, except maybe in minute details. So in that sense, it actually makes prediction very difficult in this landscape. And then there's also a measure problem. And if you go to eternal inflation workshops, the measure problem is the big argument they have. Different people have different measure, and everybody criticizing everybody else's measure. So,
yeah. Good question. You know, when you say cons, the last part of the question, it's very difficult to see where, why we end up where we are. Wouldn't you just put the full stop there? I mean, does the last part of it actually help? in your view?
Well, I mean, I'm invoking the community's view, okay? So my view, I won't mind putting a full stop there, so that's it. I would say that's extremely unlikely, very, very difficult to understand, okay? Yeah, but this is the community view, and I think that in some sense that this is unavoidable, that you have to because it's a selection process, right? Yes?
Being provocative, there is maybe one argument that can be made about where we end up. Because there are these 10 to the 500 or whatever vacua with lambda slightly positive, but there are countably infinite number of vacua with lambda slightly negative.
Yeah.
So doesn't that imply that lambda is unavoidably slightly negative?
We'll come back. Yes. Yes.
I will come back to this point. Okay. Which is of course a very important point. Oh, I come back to say how I avoid discussing this issue. Closer to the truth. Okay. Okay, so when I say wave function universe, you can think many ways. You know, everybody talks about wave function universe. We can think about a little bit like a set of brains, V3 brains, or one V3 brain, which is moving in the landscape, especially in the compactification bulk. Okay, so that way we'll simplify what we mean by landscape, and what we mean by wave function universe. Okay, so this is sort of a simplified way of sort of visualizing. And what I want to say is the behavior of the wave function in the landscape is not a semi-classical problem, but it's a quantum diffusion and percolation problem. And I would like to explain why I want to treat it that way. Okay. So outline of my talk goes roughly the following. I will discuss, first is a very simplistic way to sort of, some of you know, but some of you may have the misunderstanding on this issue that I want to emphasize. That's tunneling in the landscape is quite different from tunneling between two sites, you know, in nearest neighbor. Okay. So I want to emphasize that point. A bit. And I'll make a few comments, and then I will treat the landscape in a more sophisticated way, simple but powerful way, okay, which surprising we can say a lot of things about it. And then finally, I just mentioned that one can see signatures in the CMB power spectrum if the idea is correct. And that was the talk I gave last week, so I'm going to sort of de-emphasize that. So first is that I want to make the first point. So let's consider a very simple question, okay, which makes life easy. So consider tunneling from A to C. So let's consider three, of course. Landscapes many, but let's at least consider three. So I want to consider tunneling from A to C, okay? Now, we know how to calculate from A to B using WKB, typical, you know, following Coleman literature, typically. And then we know how to calculate B to C. So let me make very simplifying assumption. It's not necessary, but it makes life easy, okay? Let me assume from A to B and B to C is more or less the same, which I call gamma zero decay rate, and that is the WKB decay rate. And it goes like e to the minus s. S is the Euclidean action or the bounds that we know very well, and that's because of this exponential, that's why it's so small. And the prefactor will take care of all the dimensions that we have to worry about, depending on quantum mechanics, quantum field theory in different dimensions. Okay? So I'm not worried about prefactor. Now, some people would say that, well, tunneling from A to C means that the tunneling ring from A to B times the tunneling ring from B to C. Okay, so this is roughly e to the minus 2s, which is totally suppressed. And if it's totally suppressed, usually you only have to worry about next neighbors. You don't have to worry further on, okay? And because it's doubly suppressed. Okay, that's one answer possible. Oh, yeah. They're prefactors. So I only care about the exponential. You worry about the prefactor, take care of the, you talk about per unit volume, this, so the prefactor will take care of dimensions, okay? Oh, you will take the timescale, whatever system you are describing, quantum mechanics, quantum field theory, which dimension, so, okay. I'm worried only about the exponential factor because that's a dominant effect, okay?
Sure,
you can. Beyond prefactor. Prefactor is essentially order one. I'm worried about the very exponential suppressed factor, which is an exponent. Okay?
You can do it more carefully, but different situation, the prefactor will be different, have different dimensions to make sure you get a rate, or rate per unit volume. So volume depends which dimension you have. Now, so this is the naive answer, which means that it's doubly suppressed, or let me estimate a different way. Okay? I say, let's think about lifetime. Let's say the time it takes to tunnel from A to B is T, A to B, okay? And this, of course, is 1 over the tunneling rate. But the time to go from A to C is the time it takes to go to A to B, and then once you're B, you go to B to C, okay? So you add these two together, and then you get, if they are same, you get this one, and then the rate is gamma 0 over 2, which is e to the minus s, not e to the minus 2s, okay? So question is, which is the right answer, okay? Now, the issue, of course, is very clear. If it's e to the minus 2s, then if you go n step with the e to the minus ns, then totally negligible, and all you have to worry is tunneling to the nearest neighbor, and then further on will be just totally negligible. On the other hand, if tunneling to A to C is go to e to the minus s, then tunneling n step will also go to e to the minus s with some prefactor suppressing it. But certainly means that tunneling beyond its nearest neighbor further down is something you cannot ignore. Okay? You cannot just say that they're negligible because they're comparable to tunneling to nearest neighbor. And so if tunneling 3-step, 4-step away, they're still comparable. So it's a huge difference which is the right answer. Okay? So in terms of transmission coefficient, it's easier because then dimensionless, essentially probability. Then one answer is goes like T0, the other guns go T0 over N for this, or the other one will be power of T0. Okay? So question is, which is the right answer? And that's a big impact on the tunneling landscape. Okay? If you have only two sites, this issue doesn't come up. If you have many, many sites, this issue becomes very important. Okay? And the answer, I claim, the answer is that tunneling two sites will be e to the minus s, not doubly suppressed. Okay? That's the claim. And that will imply that tunneling three sites away, four sites away, will be not multiply suppressed at all, will be comparable to tunneling to the next neighbor, but suppressed by a factor of n. Of course, this is simplified. You know, many tunneling is not just of gamma zero. They will be different. The formula will be different. But the main feature is that that I claim the answer is this, okay? I'm going to explain. Okay, I'm going to explain quantum mechanics. Quantum field theory is kind of surprisingly non-trivial, and we are making progress. But
sense, you don't multiply rows. The first one didn't make sense because you don't multiply rows.
No, no. The first one, I will have prefactor to take care of the dimensions. Right, so that's the...
But
you do multiply probabilities.
You multiply probabilities, I agree, but you don't multiply rates.
Right, so in terms of probability is better. So I write the transmission coefficient with probability. So do you multiply the probability from A to B times probability B to C? Or you don't. That's the issue.
Okay. So I think I understand you have to integrate the array and then multiply
them, right?
You have to integrate the array and then multiply
them. Integrate the array, I don't know what you mean by integrate.
Because array is probability array. So you multiply probability, array is probability per unit time.
Well, this is, yeah, so I just say that multiply probability is the wrong answer.
The point is for a fixed amount of time.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Eventually, you calculate the probability of transmission, for example. Yeah.
But the point is that it's not for a fixed amount of time. The times are going to be exponentially long.
No. But the question is, the other way is doubly exponentially long. or not. Okay? So it's singly exponentially long, go n side away, or doubly exponentially long, or n tuple. Exponential law.
And that's a very big difference.
Very big difference, okay? Okay, so to understand why that you tunnel a multi-step away
is not suppressed by the simple way we have, is that known as the resonant tunneling. So I'm going to do quantum mechanics here, because the answer actually is independent quantum field theory of quantum mechanics, because we're adding time. In one case, we're adding lifetimes. The other is naive multiplied together. So generically, it doesn't depend on the details. So resonant tunneling quantum mechanics is, think about this, from here, tunneling from here to here to here. And what happened is that naively, the tunneling probability is this, which is the product of the tunneling probability, which is doubly exponentially small. However, if you hit the resonance condition, which essentially you can sum over all these paths so that they coherently add together, then what happened is that you have transmission coefficient which reach 1, okay? That means you may be exponentially suppressed to go from here to here, exponentially suppressed from here to here, but your transmission coefficient can be probability 1 going from here to there, okay? And that's known as resonance tunneling, okay? So instead of doubly suppressed, it's 1. But that requires very, very careful prepared energy initial wave function, okay? So in general wave function, you average over this, you average over this, and the averaging over this will be dominated by these resonance peaks and will give you the single exponential suppression, okay? That's essentially the basic point. This is a quantum mechanics problem, but fortunately, people do experiments. Not only people do experiments, that's resonant tunneling diodes, people commercialize it, a billion-dollar industry. So, okay, so, and people demonstrate the experiments, okay? So, at least quantum mechanics, it's not only well-established, people can get rich on it, so. Okay, so now generic case is roughly following. Is that tunneling A to B is really the product of A to B and B to C over the sum. So if they are equal, that would go to this, otherwise the ratio. But certainly, it's not doubly suppressed, doubly exponential suppressed, okay? Because they're in a region where doubly exponential suppressed, but then the occasional regions, in fact, the places they hit the resonance, precisely the Bohr-Sommerfeld condition for quantization of bound state in region B. And that essentially means that in region B, you cannot treat classically. You have to treat the whole process from A to C through B, where B has to be treated quantum mechanically. Okay? And that's the key point. Okay? So with that, now we can go to very naive argument. Naive dimensional argument is that tunneling from to nearest neighbor, if that's 2D, because if in D dimension, I have each way 2D. So it goes like this. Okay. And that tunneling beyond the nearest neighbor would be negligible, so that's the more or less the fauna, naive. But now if you include the next neighbor, all the other stuff, so you can tunnel not only to neighbor, but neighbor to neighbor, neighbor to neighbor, yes?
Did you actually include this effect, or can you use Euclidean action?
Sure.
Okay, so sure. This automatically does come out of Euclidean action.
Well, yeah, if you do WKP or whatever, I mean, the answer will not change. Okay. The important thing is that
while you go at the barrier, you use Euclidean action, but at B, where it's physically allowed the region, you have to treat quantum mechanically also, where the phase can add coherent. It's the coherence adding phase that's important. So usually tunneling from A to B, but you treat at B classically, and then B to C, you treat classically, then you will not pick up this effect. Anyway, so very roughly, if you can tunnel with essentially same single exponential suppression beyond many steps, then you have many places to tunnel. You can n steps, and in D dimension will be like this. The minus 1 essentially is gamma 0 over n. And so that means that with large enough n and large enough d, this may not be suppressed. Okay. So that's essentially the very naive, but I want to give you a feeling or intuitively why in the landscape, tunneling probability is not quite the same as what naive you think between two or three sites, okay? So that means that the presence of many vacua has a big impact on tunneling property or tunneling decay time at any site. Okay, so now let me go to make three comments very fast. First is that it is, again, well known, okay? Wave function is very difficult to be trapped in a high dimension. So that means that if you took, let me just consider quantum mechanical wave function, it's harder to trap in high dimensions. So if I think about spherical potential, then I go to spherical coordinate, I will have a term which is behave like a repulsive force for D larger than 3, for example, okay? So it's harder to trap a wave function in high dimension, which actually we all know quantum mechanics, because, for example, one dimensional attractive delta function trap a bound state, but three-dimensional delta function doesn't attract, so it's because it's harder. Okay, so this is a very simple property that we know. And here, just example, I take a spherical square well potential, and I say, how deep the potential is? This measure deep, or K measure deep, how deep the potential is, and R measure how large the potential, how wide it is, how big it is, and this is the product. And in order to trap a state for D equals to 5, I need this value, but as D increases, you have to be deeper or wider or both in order to trap a single wave function. Okay, so it's just harder to trap. So this is, again, a simple issue. And even if you trap it, the wave function will have a long tail out. Okay, so it just means that in higher dimension, wave function cannot be trapped as easily. Oh, so this is just essentially this. This is the critical value where I would trap one, at least one bound state. Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Essentially, you can solve it. Okay. So essentially, when d increases, then the potential has to be deeper and wider, or both, in order to trap single bound state, which is again something intuitively we know very well.
Okay. And so if the landscape we're thinking about D is like 50 or 100, then you really have to be a tiny potential attractive well. You know, the wave function just bypasses it. Okay? We'll not see it. We'll not be influenced by it. Another thing is the barrier of some directions lens here exponentially low. Okay, this is again, actually Neil mentioned this, is the axionic potential directions, for example. You have some potential due to many other fields, but let's take some axion directions, and typical potential has a cosine, which provide a barrier, but those very, very small. And then multi-fields will have this, and then you have other terms. But typically, alpha and beta all are exponentially small. So that means that this height of the barriers are very, very small. So the field can actually move without being trapped, or even trapped, very weakly trapped. Okay. Of course, this is only in axionic direction, and in a landscape, you know, for whatever axion, after a certain while, it will be coupled to other fields, so it will be disturbed a little bit, and then at a certain point, it may just be gone. Okay. So for different region of the landscape, you have different number of axions, for example. Okay. Okay. The third point is that the vacuum energy in the landscape, because high in the landscape, the role of the vacuum energy play the role of Hawking or Gibbons Hawking temperature. So that means it's like a finite temperature theory. And so the finite temperature effect will allow the wave function to be more mobile than otherwise. Okay. I think I will skip this maybe, okay, because of time. So this is obvious to many people. So essentially tunneling is something like this. The thin wall approximation tunneling is 1 over h cubed. Hawking Morse will age forth, and as age increases, you move out of the landscape, then the tunneling bound solution will go down very fast. Okay, so this is actually pretty well known. So now the main part is now, okay, so earlier I explained that the treating of the landscape is non-trivial. So what I want to do now is to do a more careful calculation. Okay. The landscape is very complicated. In fact, by even now, nobody has calculated the shape of the landscape. All we know is that some of the minimum we can find. And between minima, what's the barrier between them? And it's a multidimensional thing. It's not calculated. So, but we know it's complicated. So many people have shown complicated pictures. So it's certainly not periodic, except in some axionic directions for some range approximately. OK? Yes?
The traditional problem with the cosmological constant problem is the mass of fine tuning. That is the problem. Like, surely here you have a huge amount of fine tuning going on.
What? I'm not fine tuning anything.
Well, you're suggesting a plausible solution.
Yeah, well, let me get there.
How can you avoid the fine tuning?
Let me get there. Okay. You can criticize me after I get there. Right? So let me explain. Okay, so I'm going to treat the landscape as a non-trivial potential. And because I don't know what it is, so let's say a random potential. Okay? So you can tell me that whatever potential you have, which is not all like
crystallographic periodic, is random. Okay? Even if it's periodic, but you can have a few impurities, and that's, by my definition, is random. Okay? So essentially, a random potential. And we know the random potential have minimum, which is large cc, small cc, zero cc, and negative cc. It's all there, okay? So randomly distributed. You can think about Poussin-Pachinsky's case or KKLT, which is very complicated, okay? So now I want to say, let's say, what can we say about the wave function in such a landscape? Okay, that's what I'm going to do, okay? And the surprising thing is that there's a lot one can say. A lot. That's what's really surprising. And the reason we can do that is, because we have the condensed matter theorists who've been working on this problem for 50 years. So you can borrow some knowledge there. So we assume the typical landscape with many scalar field model, essentially multidimensional. The dimension is very big. And the number of vector, local vector is very, very large with all sorts of cosmological constants. And then there's some direction have low barrier, some direction high barrier. So you can draw any potential you want, and I would be happy to use that. As long as you don't design it in a way such that to satisfy your own ego. So, okay. So, this topic is studied in the condensed matter. So it's nowadays, with Lipschitz fixed point and other things, borrowing from condensed matter is pretty fashionable. The reason is because that anything which is crystallographic, periodic light potential, condensed matter people have studied that in the 30s or 20s, 40s, and by 50s it's essentially done, okay? And then they want to study, suppose, lattice with some impurities. And if there are few impurities, you can treat it perturbation, and that's done also. And then the real problem, of course, is that what happens if the impurity is a lot, so it's not weak perturbation theory doesn't work, and then they have to study those systems, and that falling in terms of you can think about many such systems with a heavy dope. You can think of mesoscopic system. You can think about insulation. You can think about alloy, mixture of two metal or three metal. You know, they will all will essentially fall into this case. And so this is a big field in their case. Strongly interacting electronic systems is fall into this case. So this is essentially one of the main fields of condensed matter for the last 50 years. So something we can learn from that. And that's what I'm going to do. The particular thing I'm going to learn is how can we treat random potential, random lattice? Because we don't know the shear potential. So if they have know something about random case, that we should borrow. And so the particular reference I'm going to quote is that this one, which is one of the well-known paper. So I'm going to go over this. Turn out the analysis is very simple. Okay, we can do that in 15 minutes, almost line-by-line calculation. So that's really amazing. Okay. So I consider wave function, which is complicated, okay? Now, of course, because it's random, it's not easy, but I'm going to consider the envelope of the wave function, okay? So the wave function may look like this, but soon it died off, so the envelope is what we're considering. So envelope generically will die off because, you know, the barriers, so the wave function will sort of die off locally. And if it's very focused, we'll be like this. So these are two cases of the enveloping wave function. Okay? So the enveloping wave function would be something like this, exponentially small as you go further away. It can go very, very far away if C is very large. Okay? So if you take the potential to be periodic, then C will approach infinity. Okay? So but it's more or less controlled singly by C. That means that wherever I put an electron at R0, then wait a little while, you will have this behavior generically. And so in some sense, tunneling from a particular site, if you put an electron there, and then you go nearby, the tunneling will be measured around by this. A distance A from it will be measured by this. Okay? This is the microscopic property, so you can do that. And this is not necessary for electron, although I will use the language electron. People have done it for photon, for phonon, for magnon. No, so it's really very generally applied. So I want to ask the question. I would define something called conductance, which is a conductivity, but it's something that we know. So I want to say, suppose I have a hypercube of size L, macroscopic size, let's say, okay? And it's conducting. So what happened? Well, I would define in D dimension, L is the distance, macroscopic distance size. I want to measure the conductance coming from here to here, size L. Then you will go like d to minus 2. Okay. In three dimension we know. In three dimension, the conductance is the conductivity times the area. The bigger the area you allow the current to go through, the larger the conductance, divided by the distance you have to go, which is L. So it goes like L. So you can see that this is a very simple dimensional argument. Okay. And then you define this to be a dimensionless thing to choose some parameter, whatever that you're convenient with. Okay? So this is if the theory is conducting, that means the electron or whatever field can move freely, which in my language is mobile, okay? Then it will have a conductance behavior like this. Okay? And the non-trivial point that in the 1970s that particle physicists, in particular Ken Wilson, have exported the renormalization group idea to condensed matter and to phase transition. And since the early 70s, the condensed matter people, everyone tried to apply renormalization group to every single problem they have. Okay, and they obviously wanted to apply to this case. And the natural thing is to apply the conductivity. And many people tried to apply the conductivity and fail. And then Thouless have a brilliant idea to say that we should apply to conductance. Okay. So this is known as the Thouless number, sometimes dimensionless. Okay. Okay. So the question now we have is the following: locally, microscopically, we know how behave the wave function is dying off. Okay, that's not typically. So this is microscopic behavior at distance scale A, microscopic locally. It's going to be exponential down, which not surprising. But now, if you go to distance large, okay, it should behave continual down, exponential down, where L is large, or you will behave like conducting. Okay, so that's the question. That's a scaling problem. You know the local property, microscopic property, what happened, and then you say, as I go to large distance, what's the property? Okay, one or two choices. Now, if it's conducting, essentially means that even locally, go to the next neighbor is exponential down, but somehow at large distance, it will be able to conducting, which means it's mobile. That means it's not trapped. Okay. On the other hand, if naive expectation at distance A goes like this and large distance will go like this, then it will be exponential down, the conductance will be exponential down, which means conductivity will be zero. It means it gets trapped. Okay. So that's the way. Which is the right answer? Or what happened? What are the conditions for one or the other one? Okay, that's it. So if it's locally trapped, then eternal inflation is unavoidable, and what we call zero conductivity or insulating or localized. All those words, I mean, this case, which is a naive extension of this, or we apply this case. Okay, so which is the right answer? Or under what condition you will go to one or the other? Okay, so that's the question. Okay, and that's a scaling issue. You know property of one scale, what happened to another scale? Okay. And so whenever you have scaling property, we want to introduce a beta function by now. And so they introduce a beta function, which is the d log g over d log l. Okay. So essentially, he said that once the beta function you know, it tells you how it behaves when you know at short distance go long distance. So the simple case, let's do this. Suppose this is the right behavior. You take the log, you have d minus 2 log l. So differentiate is immediately go to d minus 2. Okay? So if it's conducting, it's d minus 2, or approach d minus 2. If it's insulating or trapped, we know that this goes like e to the minus log l c, and then log g with minus l, which is this. So differentiate, you get this. So it goes like log g over some value gc, and g is decreasing. So if it localized behave like this, it's conducting goes like this. Okay? And of course, depends on your landscape or depends your material. So, but this is very, very simple. So I don't know what happened before, but I can plot the two ends. Okay? So I can plot the two ends. So let me consider these two ends. Log g, remember, I plot beta function over log g. Okay? So beta function tells you how it runs as L increases. L increases is we call sort of infrared, okay, if you want. So beta goes like log g, which means that as far as log g goes, there will be linear. So all this line will be linear like this, going down. And then on the other end, if it's conducting, then it will go like this, okay? Because this is d equals 3, so d minus 2 is 1. This is 0, minus 1. So, and we assume smooth, then you just draw the line. Okay, so it's very, very simple. And in many, you go to any lectures on condensed matter about macroscopic system or strong impact, you a lot of times see this picture. Okay. Except they only plot d equals 1, 2, 3. They don't plot the other ones. Okay. We are interested in the other ones. Okay, so that's the only difference. Okay. So now, suppose let's consider d equals 1. anywhere d equals 1 is negative, okay? So that means that any point I start here, as I go to larger, larger distance, you will flow to this way, minus infinity, okay? So that means that in one dimension, it will always be insulated. So, okay? So that means that even if locally the wave function spread very far, but it can't spread anymore. So it will always be tailored off. So in one dimension, it's always insulated or localized, okay? The wave function localized, so there's no conductivity. The interesting thing is D equals 2. D equals 2, no matter what, this is approaching. So no matter where you are, you always, although this is very smallly negative, but you always, again, flow this way. So that means for D equals 2, again, it's always localized. Okay. This is very surprising, okay? Well, except to Anderson. So what happened is that Anderson in 1958, that's 20 years before this, work out random lattice in two dimension and claim to have shown that it's always localized in two dimension, okay, which is surprising. Localized in one dimension is very obvious to everybody. You know, you can do a simple calculation yourself and convince yourself that's the case, because anytime there's an impurity, a random blob, the coherence is lost. Okay, but two dimension is somewhat surprising, and Anderson showed it's always localized. And actually, Condensed Matter friend told me that they don't quite understand the paper. But this one, this picture really very clearly demonstrates why that's the case. And in fact, Anderson won a Nobel Prize for that piece of work, okay? Well, yeah, this sort of demonstrates why he's correct.
Yeah. But I won't say nobody understands it.
Obviously, at least a few people on the committee. But
this argument really
clearly demonstrates that he's correct, okay? Now, the interesting thing is D equals 3 and higher. When it goes D equals 3 and higher, it will be negative on one side and positive on this side. So there's a point where make the transition, where beta vanishes. That's what we call fixed point, right? I mean, we know very well the fixed point. And the interesting thing about this fixed point is the following, and that's true for all D equals, okay? That if you're here, if you're on slightly on this side, it's positive, then you will flow towards that end. If you're slightly negative here, you will flow towards that. So that means in terms of conductivity or conductance, it's an unstable fixed point. Okay? So every single will be. So there's a phase transition from flowing this way or flowing that way. Okay? And that's essentially a picture. So for D larger, you can be more and more negative and still will be able to flow this way or the other way. And because it's an unstable fixed point, this actually is a phase transition, a second order phase transition, okay, by going below this critical value. Okay? So that means there's a critical value, GC. If you're a little bit below that, then you will flow to trap. If you're a tiny little bit above it, it will be conducting. So this is a phase transition. Okay. Now, so this is a condition, and we can look at the wave function originally, which is this form. And then naively, you can estimate, which quite easily, D play a role. That means that GC will be roughly e to the minus D minus 1 as the critical value. There's some constant of order 1 you can, depends on different theories. So different material will be slightly different. But this generic and good enough for our purpose. So that means that if the tunneling locally is exponentially small for large D, but still bigger than this number, okay, then globally, it will be conducting. So the reason is not surprising, because you can find many way directions to go its path, and then it will flow, and it will find a way, as long as it's bigger than this, that means even exponentially small, but not that small, then it will find its way, and the wave function is mobile, and will not be trapped, okay? So this is the important thing. So if D is 100, you can see that even though tunneling to neighbor is exponentially suppressed, it can really be mobile, okay? So what's the critical GC? Well, critical GC I explained earlier, but in a simple model, generically, quantitatively, can differ a little bit, but generically, they all use this, okay? And people use, compared with one-dimensional, two-dimensional system, that's essentially it. A slightly different material change a little bit, but it's not important for us. So I've summarized the property. Mobility is possible, or in some regions possible in dimension higher than 2, but in 1 and 2 is no mobility. So when people do landscape, think about one-dimensional, I agree with them completely, okay? But the problem is that thinking one-dimensional, you think they capture the key physics, and I claim that's not the case. So now we have the critical conductance is given roughly by this, or tunneling rate square root of this. So now what I want to do is I want to convert this critical conductance value to a critical cosmological constant in a landscape. That means that a critical cosmological constant, okay, I want to convert that. That requires a little bit of assumption. So picture goes like follows. In the high CC, it will be mobile, moving around, okay? And then it would be moving around, and then you drop, and at a certain point, there's a critical CC, okay? There's a phase transition, sharp, that if you drop below that critical value, then you'll be stuck there, okay? And then your lifetime will be exponentially long. So this is the key. And I want to estimate that critical CC, okay? Okay, here.
You don't even have an excuse of us interrupting too much.
Okay. five minutes is good enough. Thank you. I'll do it. Okay, so now I will make two assumptions in order to do this. And one is tunneling from de sitter to higher up is negligibly small, which is good approximation. The other one is tunneling from positive CC to negative CC. And I will ignore that, okay? So that's Lee's question. And the reason I ignore that is because that if you tunnel there, then the bubble will crunch. And according to Coleman DeLuccia, will probably not contribute to the landscape, to what we're doing. We can spend an hour discussing that, okay? And you have discussed a lot about it, why the crunch happened and what the meaning of crunch is. Okay, let me just make a simple assumption that Coleman DeLuccia made, that for first approximation, we can ignore it, okay? It's a very long story. Obviously, I don't have time. So let me make that assumption. That's the caveat, okay? So now, if the Planck scale or string scale, everything is string scale. So let me make that assumption, which is probably true. At the Planck scale, the correlation length is Planck scale, the interspace between vacua is Planck scale, the height is Planck scale, everything is Planck scale or string scale. So that would be my input, which is dimensional is correct. And then as I go down, the number of vacua will decrease, spacing will increase, okay? So the picture roughly, I'm not going to go through the calculation, but the picture should be quite clear that I will have something like this. So if I tunnel from here, I can go to here, go to here, go everywhere, okay? So that's fine. But now if I go down CC, I cannot go up, okay? So I have to go this. So essentially the G will be exponentially smaller as you go down. And at a certain point, it will shut off, okay? Because it hit below the GC. So as you go down the landscape, the number of sites you can go to will be further apart. And as a result, you will be reaching below the critical conductance or below the tunneling rate, and then it will shut off. And then I want to estimate that CC, okay? And let me assume the random distribution of the site. Well, lambda is the vacuum of the vacuum energy of the site. Distribution would be like this, some distribution, okay? You can take other distribution. Anyway, then it's very easy to make the estimate. And you make the estimate, you get the answer, Q will be like this, or Q goes to 1, you will find this. So that means the critical cosmological constant, below which will be trapped, and above which is mobile, will go like d to the minus d to whatever string scale, Planck scale you like, okay? It's up to you. If you make slightly different assumption, this will change. For example, if I have a distribution not flat, but with different distribution, it will be like d to the minus d over Q. So it's up to you, okay? And you can make different assumptions, but typically, generically, you always get the following information. You always find that critical cosmological constant, where the phase transition from mobile to trap is exponentially small compared with the scale you have, either Planck scale or string scale, okay? So that's the key, okay? Okay, so, oh, here's another minor point, is that not only I can have this quantum diffusion, I can put percolation into it, and then you can have a renormalizing group, including percolation effect. And again, when the dimension is high, percolation is always go through, and you reduce the simple problem I have, okay? So, but essentially means that you can extend the analysis to more realistic or non-trivial situation, and the answer doesn't change. Okay, so this is just a more general beta function you can play around with. Okay, so the picture is a little bit like what Neil talked about, except now you have to think it as a multi-dimension, many dimension. Okay, once it's multi-dimension, then this picture will begin to make sense. Okay, essentially, you high up your mobile, down there you're trapped. Okay, but if you think about only one dimension or two dimension, for sure your answer will not work. Okay. Minimum three, but the higher dimension you go, the more natural this picture becomes. Okay, so the last point I want to make is that, well, okay, so suppose you have inflation in the landscape, and then you're bumping around, tunneling around while inflating, and then you generally expect some features in the power spectrum, CMB power spectrum, and that feature will be uncorrelated, the magnitudes random, the features random, the position features random, but so if you see such features, then that would be a signature of inflationary landscape, and it will be, I think, will support strongly for a case that there's no eternal inflation. Okay? So, but unfortunately, I cannot tell you how big the features are, where they are, because it's random. So, okay. So let me summarize my talk. So the universe is freely moving from my point of view in the stringy landscape when the vacuum energy density is above a critical value. Okay? And so because of the mobility of the wave function moving, we don't expect eternal inflation. When the universe drops below a critical CC value, then it will stay there because the lifetime there is exponentially long. Okay? And there's a phase transition. So that's why it can happen in a sudden way, okay, instead of slowly. Okay? And the critical CC is exponentially small compared with Planck string scale. Now, how exponentially small depends more details. Okay? And you can play around with details, but no matter how you estimate, it's always exponentially small, as long as D is large. And this scenario suggests the inflationary scenario landscape, which predicts hopefully observable power spectrum fluctuations. Okay, thank you.
I think one question, then we should move on. All right, two, but that's it. Okay, very beautiful idea. Really like it. But you've got the huge empty universe problems. You've got exactly Abbott's empty universe problems. You're tunneling from a very low value of lambda to another very low value of lambda. You have no radiation, no matter.
Right, but
no inflation.
Yeah. So that's not necessarily the condition. You can, but it's possible that you tunnel from high and then go down to below CC. And that's another possibility.
That's unlikely.
Well, all the randomly distributed. So of every high CC vacua, there will be other vacuum which will be high CC and some low. So high and low are mixed up if you look at Boolean potential. So next to a high CC can be a low CC. Very low. Well, dimension is high. Anyway, yes, we can discuss that.
How would this picture change if, let's say, around any vacuum, there's some field direction where you can just roll all the way to zero without any barrier?
Yeah. This is rather unlikely. So it's possible you can roll, but we'll be bouncing around, tunnel level. So you can either have a slight slow roll potential, but with a lot of bumps and fluctuations. Question is, how many bumps and how many fluctuations, how many tunneling? I don't know. Depends on the people.
All right. We can have one more question while Sunny is setting up.